Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
In Miami-Dade County, nearly 63% of children live in households that cannot afford the basics. And 19%, yes, 19% are living in poverty. The reality is that many hardworking families in our city simply cannot keep up with the rising cost of living. In fact, this year, 38% of parents say that they will cut back on areas like food and basic needs just to make ends meet, and will work overtime and even second jobs. You know, as followers of Jesus, this should break our hearts, and church, God has called us to do something. Because of that, we're launching a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. You see, the idea behind this initiative is that Christ Fellowship would come alongside these families in the city and not just serve them once, but rather develop a relationship with them where we can be a blessing to the same family at different times of the year, such as the beginning of school year, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and beyond. And if they ever go through some sort of tragedy or trial, they know there's a group of people that they can go to for support and for prayer. You see, over the years, we've been able to serve thousands of families through various community outreaches, and we've seen God move in the hearts of many families. But our desire is not that we would just be a church that serves families one time a year, but rather that we would come alongside these families and serve them above and beyond at various times of the year. And so here's my challenge for our church. You ready? Starting this summer, I would love to see us come alongside 500 families in our city. In fact, I would love to see each of our small groups be part of this Be a Blessing initiative. You know, I've shared with you before that our desire is for every person to be in a small group and every small group to be on mission. And this is such a great way for your small group to be on mission. And the first way we're gonna be a blessing to these families will be at the start of the new school year. But we will not only get their kids ready for school with backpacks filled with school supplies, but we will also partner with Caring for Miami so that their children would have food to eat over the weekend for just $300 for the entire year. This will ensure that these children would have food over the weekend until they're able to return to school on Monday. To sign up your small group, or if you're in an individual family that would like to be part of this initiative, go to cfmiami.org/beablessing. Christ Fellowship, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, specifically in our city. So let's be faithful to God's call and be a blessing.
Praise God, what a powerful time of worship. And if you're joining us for the first time, we want to say thank you so much for being a part of our worship experience today. My name is Carlos, and I serve as the executive pastor here. And I want to take a moment and welcome all of our campuses across Miami, our West Kendall campus, Pastor Alex, our Redland Homestead campus, Pastor Emilio, our Doral campus, Pastor Jose, our downtown Coral Gables campus, Pastor Al. And if you're watching us online, can we give it up for all the campuses tuning in right now? And today we are going back to our series that we've entitled I Am, and we're going through the seven I Am statements that Jesus Christ declares about himself in the Gospel of John. We took a little pause the last couple weeks, but we're going to go right into it. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to John 14, verse 5. And so are you ready?
Ready.
Come on, you can do better than that. Are you ready? Yeah. West Kendall, are you ready? Doral, are you ready? Coral Gables, come on. Thomas said to him, Verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Say with me, the way.
The way.
Say it like you mean it, the way.
The way.
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. You can have a seat now. You know, now that school is back on, summer is officially over. And I know some of you parents are like, thank God, take the kids back to school. But some of you that don't have little children, you're like, oh, you're upset of all the traffic because what used to take you 20 minutes now takes you an hour and 20 minutes, right? But this summer, my family and I, we didn't travel much, but my older sister from North Carolina came down with my niece, and we celebrated my beautiful mother's 70th birthday. In fact, she's here today, and we had an amazing time. And one of the things that we did while my older sister was here, she loves going to the beach, especially if she's in Miami. And so she sends me a message, and she's like, I want to go to the beach. Let's go have a beach day. And we love going to the beach. How many of you love going to the beach, love the sand, make some noise? Yeah. Some of you are like, I don't like the beach, you know? So I'm getting ready, you know, getting the kids ready, getting the cooler, getting all the stuff, and we're getting ready, packing up and all that. And my beautiful, lovely wife tells me, babe, I looked at the weather app, and it says it's going to rain in Miami Beach. But I'm like, babe, don't you worry. You know how it is in South Florida in the summer. It rains every day. The rain is very transient. It'll rain for a moment, but once we get there, it'll stop. Are you sure? Yeah, let's go. Hard-headed. And so we make our way to Miami Beach, and it is dark, a lot of clouds, cloudy, and my sister calls me, are you sure you still want to go to the beach? No, let's go. You know, once we get past 836 and the airport, once we make it there, it's going to be sunny. Don't you worry. Hard-headed again. So we go to the beach, and it's raining. And there's no signs of it stopping. We wait there for about 20, 30 minutes, and we're driving down Collins Avenue hoping to find a spot where it's not raining, but it is raining. So we go back home, and we wasted 2 hours of our life. And so then, the following day, my sister sends me a message. Oh, it looks like a good beach day. I'm like, wait a minute. I learned my lesson. I'm going to get on the phone, and I check the weather app, and it's raining in Miami Beach. And I'm like, no. However, in Key Biscayne, which is more south, it's sunny. So I'm like, okay, let's give it a shot. Let's try. And so we go the following day. It's a Saturday. We first tried on a Friday. Now it's a Saturday. We go to Key Biscayne, and by the grace of God, sunlight, and we had an amazing time with the family. Praise God. Amen. But here's what I realized. You see, when we went the previous day, you go to Miami Beach, there are a lot of ways to get to Miami Beach. There is MacArthur Causeway. There is I-195. There is 79th Street. And then once you get there, you can take Alton Road, Ocean Drive, Washington Avenue, Collins Avenue. There are a lot of ways to get to Miami Beach. However, to get to the lighthouse in Key Biscayne, there's only one way. There's only one road. There's only one avenue. There's only one highway, one bridge that gets you to the lighthouse. There aren't other ways that you can get there. Now, why do I share that story with you today? Because in a much greater way, in a much more powerful way, when we have to get to a relationship with God, to get to a relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's not like Miami Beach where there are a lot of ways. It's not like Miami Beach where there are a lot of roads or a lot of deities or a lot of belief systems or a lot of ideologies. When it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, Scriptures is very clear. It is not ambiguous. It is not vague. When it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, there is only one way. And that one way is through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our lives. How many of you believe that today? You can give Jesus a shout of praise. But I know what some of you may be thinking. Carlos, that sounds so narrow-minded. Carlos, that sounds so closed-minded. That sounds so exclusive. That sounds so fundamental. It sounds so traditional. It's the 21st century, Carlos. That sounds so archaic. That sounds so old school. What do you mean that there's only one way? Aren't there multiple ways? And how do I know that there's only way to have a relationship with the God of this universe? Well, we're gonna find out today as we go through this passage in John chapter 14. And so we love to take notes here. I wanna encourage you to take out your listening guide, take out your Christ Fellowship app. And here's the first point that I want you to write down today. Jesus is not a way, he is the way. Amen. Here's what that passage says in John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am." Say with me, "I am."
I am.
Say it like you mean it. I am.
I am.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, because we took a pause from this series the last couple weeks, I want to give us a quick overview on this statement, "I am," because it's imperative that we really understand what that means. See, we learned at the beginning of July that when Jesus declares himself and he says the statement, "I am," he's making a declaration that he's more than just a moral figure or more than just a teacher, more than just a rabbi, that he is God. And the reason we know this is because in the second book of the Bible, in the book of Exodus, when the people of God, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, when God has a conversation with Moses, and he tells Moses, "This is what you are called to do. You are called to deliver my people from Egypt." Moses then asked the question, "What do I tell the people that who sent me?" And in the Bible, we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you." In other words, the statement "I am" is the title for God. And so when Jesus comes into this world, we begin in John chapter 6, that the first statement that he makes of the first "I am" statement that he makes is in John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. If you have me, you will never go hungry again. You will never thirst again." In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of this world. You don't have to live in darkness anymore." In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the door." In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." If you're going through adversity in life and you're going through some struggles, "I am the shepherd who guides you and sustains you." In John chapter 11, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and life. Even if you die, you will still live and you'll be resurrected in my presence." In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then lastly, in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do anything." How many of you are grateful and thankful for the Savior that we have in Jesus Christ? He deserves the praise and the worship if you're watching us at one of our campuses. Amen? And so in this passage, the disciples are worried and afraid because Jesus' life here on earth is coming to an end. And he already had predicted his death and his resurrection. And so the Bible says in John chapter 14, let me take you to the beginning of that chapter. Look at what it says. "Let not your hearts be troubled." He's talking to his disciples. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I prepare a place for you?" So in other words, he's talking about heaven. And then he says, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus then said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you're taking notes, Jesus is the only way to salvation. Amen. See, Jesus is not just a good way. Jesus is not just a way to a peaceful life. Jesus is not just a way to a simplistic life, to a resourceful life. To a life of joy and to a life of happiness. Yes, that is a byproduct of what happens when you follow Jesus. But in this passage, Jesus is making the bold declaration that the only way you can get to the Father, the only way that you can be saved, is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In other words, religion can't save you. Morality doesn't save you. Rituals do not save you. Traditions do not save you. Only Jesus Christ brings salvation.
Amen.
And what makes Christianity so radically different than any other religion, than any other belief system, than any other philosophical belief or idea, is that no other religious leader, no other religious founder, no other deity declares that they're the only way to salvation. No. In fact, Jesus says that he is the door. If you go through it, you will be saved. John chapter 10. Jesus says he's the door. The way that religion operates, religion is like a ladder. All other religions, the way they operate, it's like a ladder. And you have to do certain things to get on that ladder so that you can make it to God. Islam, the five pillars of Islam. If you do these five pillars, these five steps, you get on the ladder and you work your way up, then you will finally make it to God. Then you will finally be good with God. How do you know what's good enough? How do you know if you've made the mark? When it comes to Buddhism, the four stages of enlightenment. If you go through these four stages of enlightenment, then you will experience nirvana, and then you will be at perfect peace and tranquility, and you have made the mark. Hinduism, it's the caste system. Four stages, four levels, and you have to go through these levels. You have to work your way up, and then you have arrived to the level of priestly, and you've arrived to the level that you should be at. Religion, it's all about morality and do's and don'ts and traditions and say this prayer. And if you say these words and you say it and you confess it to this person or you do these things, then God is going to love you. Then God is going to accept you. And then you can have a relationship with the God of the universe. See, all these religions are all about working our way up to God. And what makes Christianity and the gospel message so radically different, it's not us working our way up to God, it's God working his way unto us. And God says, listen, I love you so much that you don't have to work your way into heaven. I love you so much that I'm going to leave my celestial throne, take off my celestial robe, live a perfect life, die a death that I did not deserve, to forgive you from your past, present, and every single one of your future sins. How many of you are grateful? How many of you are thankful? I am preaching to somebody at West Kendall. I am preaching to somebody at Doral. I am preaching to somebody at Redland. Give Jesus a loud shout of praise. It's too good to be true. Yes, it's the gospel of grace. But I know what some people may be thinking. Carlos C. Los, that's too radically exclusive, that there's only one way. What do you mean? That's too narrow-minded. That's too closed-minded. How can there be only one way? It's radically exclusive. It is radically exclusive. However, at the same time, it's radically inclusive. How do I know that? Go to the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 7. This is with the Apostle John. He's having a revelation. He's having a vision. And look at what it says. Verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number. A lot of people. From what? Every. Say with me, every. From every nation. You know what every means in the Greek? Every. Everybody. Todo mundo, every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And what are they crying out with a loud voice? Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and into the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Every person, not just white, not just black, not just Hispanic, not just Asian, not just Filipino, but every single nation representing every language, every tribe, every people group, that does not depict an image of exclusivity. No. That is an image of inclusivity. Amen. Yes, it's one way, but thanks be to God that everyone can walk on that way.
Amen.
And make it in. You know, back in the days, don't judge me, I tell you, I'm real here on stage. There were a couple times that I went to a nightclub when I was younger. Don't judge me. Some of you are like, I went to a nightclub last night. God bless you. Keep it Christian. We'll talk about that another day. Pastor Omar will preach to you about that. So, and here's the thing about going to a nightclub. If you go to a good one, there's always a long line of people waiting. But before you make it into the club, there's a bouncer on the door, and he checks your ID. But here's another thing that the bouncer does. He looks at you and sees if you're dressed good enough to get into the place. You see, if you're wearing flip-flops and shorts or a tank top, it doesn't matter how cute you are, how pretty, whatever you are, he's going to say, you're not coming in. Yep. Because you have not met the standard of how you are to look to come into the club. So you need to go back home, and you can't make it in because you got to wear a certain thing. You got to dress a certain way. And you got to either wear pants or slacks or a blazer in order to make it into this club. But I love the gospel message because Jesus is at the door, and it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter what you've said, what you've done. It doesn't matter your past, your tradition, where you're from, who you've been with, and what are the things that you've done, even the things that you're guilty or ashamed of. If you come to the door, Jesus says, listen, all you have to do is believe and repent from your sins, and you can make it here, and you can enjoy fellowship with me, and you can have true purpose, true life, true meaning. How many of you believe that today? I am preaching to somebody today. Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. So Jesus is not only a way, he is the way. If you're writing notes, write this down as your next point. Jesus is also the embodiment of truth. Jesus is also the embodiment of truth. Truth emanates from who Jesus is. He is the source of truth. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Say with me, truth.
Truth.
Say like you mean the truth.
Truth.
Look what Colossians 1, verse 15 says. He is the image of the invisible God, speaking about Jesus. The firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything he might be preeminent. In other words, Jesus embodies truth. You want to see how God is? Look at Jesus. You want to know the character of God? Look at Jesus. Jesus is God in flesh, in bones. And Jesus fulfills over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about him. He came into this world to live a perfect life, died a death that he did not deserve, was raised from the grave. But I know that we live in a world where people oppose absolute truth. See, we live in a world, we live in a culture that truth is relative. This idea of relativism is prevalent and pervasive. And so people will say things like, Carlos, you believe that Jesus is God, and that is true for you, but I don't believe that Jesus is God. I believe there are other ways, so that is true for me. And I'm okay that you believe that, but let me believe what I believe, because what I believe is right. See, now truth is no longer truth. It's relativism. It's all relative now. And what the interesting thing, the irony in all of that, and with a loving way, you know, we are called to love and serve people and care for people. But whenever you hear something like that, the statement that they're making, whether they realize it or not, inadvertently, it's an absolute truth as well. Because what they're saying is, you're wrong, you can think that, but let me think this, and I'm right. See, we don't live with a relativism mindset in our lives. Like, if you go to the bank, I was a bank teller, and you have $12,000 in your savings account, and you wanna take out some money, and say, I have $12,000 in my savings account, you go to the teller, and he looks at the 12,000, he says, well, you think it's 12,000, I actually think it's 5,000. So I'm only gonna give you 5,000. Because I think it's 5,000. We don't live with this mindset. So if someone tells you, well, you know, you believe that, but I believe this, then the question that you can ask is, are you absolutely true, right? Do you think you absolutely for sure know that you're right? Because you're making an absolute truth statement. And the problem is, because you think that that one way is so narrow-minded, you then oppose the gospel and you don't have the opportunity to experience freedom of forgiveness from our sins and healing as well. Think about it this way. Imagine if you were to go to your physician and you go to your doctors and your doctor says, listen, sir, ma'am, Carlos, Omar, Mike, Mario, I have bad news for you. You have a terminal illness. Because of the unwise decisions that you made when you were younger and because of the things that you ate, you have a terminal illness. But here's the good news. There's a cure for that terminal illness. There's healing that you can experience. I think one of the first questions that you ask is like, are there any side effects if I take that treatment? Because, you know, I'm okay with medications. It's all good. But sometimes I cured your asthma, but now you have another toe that's growing. Or, you know, your heart's fine, but your liver's all messed up, you know? Are there any side effects? Actually, the side effects are really good. You experience more joy. You experience more peace. You experience more compassion, more love, more mercy. You'll be a better husband, a better wife, a better son, father, child, businessman. Great. The next question you're gonna ask is, how much does it cost for me to take on that treatment? Oh, don't you worry, a generous benefactor actually paid for everyone to experience this treatment. Really? So I don't have to pay for it? No, you don't have to pay for it. Okay, last question. What is the rate of it healing what I have? What is the rate of it healing my terminal illness? 100%. It always heals you. You're gonna feel 100% better and no longer you're gonna have this terminal illness. Imagine if that person tells you, your physician tells you that, and you think, are there other options? Are there other ways? I mean, Dr. Pam, I mean, that's too, no, there are no other ways. That's too closed-minded. That's too narrow-minded. I mean, I don't want the white pill, I want the black pill, I want the green pill. I don't want to take it in liquid form, I want to take it as a solid form, as a tablet. That's too narrow-minded. There has to be other options, so I'm not going to take that treatment. Doesn't make sense. And oftentimes, people will reject the gospel, not because of who God is, because they want other options. At least he made a way. And here's what I want you to realize. Every single one of us, we all have a terminal illness called sin. Every single one of us, sin separates us from God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So all you have to do is believe and accept. And I'm going to take on that truth. Yes, it's one way. way, but it is the way to get to my Heavenly Father. How many of you are thankful that God made a way for you to experience true fulfillment, to experience true freedom? I am preaching to somebody today who has been thinking that Christianity is closed-minded, but Jesus made a way. Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. And so Jesus makes it very clear that he's the only way. See, oftentimes people will accept a lot of the teachings of Christ. They'll accept that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. They'll accept when Jesus talks about giving to the needy, feeding the poor. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter written by Paul but inspired by God. They'll accept that love is patient, love is kind, love is holds no records of wrongdoing, is long-suffering. They'll accept those teachings. But the moment that Jesus says, I am the way and the only way, they oppose that because they think it is narrow-minded and they're missing out on the freedom and joy and blessing that comes with having a personal relationship with the God of the universe. Amen? So Jesus is not only a way, the way. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Jesus gives abundant life. Jesus gives abundant life. In that same passage, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're taking notes, I want you to circle or underline that word life in your Bible. We told you that the New Testament was first written in Greek and then translated into other languages. And in the New Testament, there are three words for the word life. One is bios. It's where we get the word biology. The other one is psuche. Has to do with our soul. And then the other one is zoe. And in this passage, Jesus does not use the word bios or doesn't use the word psuche, but he uses the word zoe, which means to have an abundant life. It means to have a life of fulfillment. It means to have a life of completion. It means that you are so satisfied in Christ that no matter what happens, you still are at peace in your heart and your mind. And what I love about this is that Jesus does not only say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you are saved, but then you got to figure it out before you make it into heaven, before you are in the presence of God. But then Jesus says, he's also the life. Amen. An abundant life. See, too many times, believers, we settle for a life and we don't live the life. Amen. We settle for ordinary and God wants you to experience a life of purpose and fulfillment, which is why the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I love this passage. It says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The idea of the word full there is like when you take a cup and you just fill it up with so much water that it's just overflowing all the time. No matter what happens at work, no matter what happens with my family, no matter what happens at school, no matter what happens with a friend, no matter the betrayal, I'm still gonna experience that Zoe life. How do I live that life? If you're writing notes, write this down as your next point. You live the life by knowing God.
Amen.
You live the life by knowing God. In that same chapter, in that same passage in John chapter 14, the verse after, verse 7, look what it says. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That word know in the Greek is the word gnosko. And it means to know at a personal level. It means to know intimately. You see, you can know about God, but do you know God? You can know about his word, but do you know his word? Growing up as a kid, I was a big, huge Michael Jordan fan and still am. You know, I mean, he's obviously retired long ago and he was my favorite athlete. And I remember my mother got me a little booklet of Michael Jordan and I actually read all through it. I was 8 years old and memorized a lot of stats. And I know a lot of things about Michael Jordan. He was born in February 17 in 1963 in Brooklyn, New York. At the age of 5, him and his family, they moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. At the age when he was 18, he was picked by UNC Chapel Hill and played college basketball for 3 years. in University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And in 1984, he was drafted by the Chicago Bulls, and he played for the Bulls for 13 seasons and then played for the Wizards for two. He won six NBA titles, won five MVP awards, won six NBA title MVP awards. He is 6'6", and back then he was about 205 pounds. I knew a lot about Michael Jordan, but I didn't know Jordan. I've never had a conversation with Michael Jordan. I've never gone to lunch with him. I've never had coffee with him. I've never talked to him. I've never sent him a text message. And probably, chances are, I never will. I knew about Michael Jordan, but I don't know Jordan. And sadly, the reason why too many believers are not living the life of fulfillment and that Zoe life that God speaks about in this passage is because we know about God. We know the Bible verses about God. We know about the Old Testament. We know about the prophets. We know about the prophecies. We know about the New Testament. We know about the Apostle Paul's letters, but we don't actually know God. And God is reminding you today, listen, I have called you not for you to be at distance with me, not for our relationship to be dormant, but I have called you so that we can have a personal and deep and intimate relationship with me, so that you can find fulfillment, so that you can find peace, so that you can know that I am a good and gracious God. How many of you believe that today? I am preaching to somebody at West Kendall. I am preaching to somebody at Doral. I am preaching to somebody today. So you can know about God, but not know God. How do you live the life and not just a life? Write this down as the next point. You live the life by loving others. Jesus is not only the way, the truth, and the life, but he wants you to experience the life by knowing God and loving others. Look at what the passage says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What every follower of Jesus should be striving for is that. Love the Lord God with all your hearts, soul, and minds, and love others. Think about this for a moment. If you follow that, no matter what happens with a coworker, no matter what happens with the boss, no matter what happens in your marriage, no matter what happens with your finances, no matter what happens in your business, no matter what the economy brings to us, inflation, if you live that out, if you strive for that, you're gonna live a life, a Zoe life, a life of abundance, a life of joy, a life of happiness, a life of peace, not because your situation is good and not because you don't face problems and you're not going through a storm in life, because you know that ultimately your God is a good Father and your life is in his hands. You know, for the past couple weeks, every single one of us, we've been mourning and celebrating and honoring the life of Pastor Rick Blackwood, his legacy. Pastor Rick Blackwood served as the lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship for 23 years. He didn't just live a life, he lived the life. He preached faithfully the Word of God for over 40 years, preaching expository, high-impact teachings, faithfully preaching the Word of God. 23 years he came and served this church from a small town in North Carolina to a very diverse city. It feels like a different country when you come here from the Carolinas, and I know that personally. It's just a different world. But Pastor Rick was faithful to the call of God and led faithfully this church for 23 years. It went from one campus of several hundreds of people to multiple locations across Miami-Dade, campuses in Colombia, Costa Rica, Cuba, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, sister church in Ukraine. And God did amazing things in him and through him. But what was the most admirable thing about Pastor Rick, that his identity or his desire, yes, he loved preaching the word of God, but ultimately he knew that he was called to love God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and love others. And I remember when he was retired, I remember having a conversation with him. I was his neighbor, and we'll have some conversations at time. And I would ask him, Pastor, do you miss preaching the word of God? Because you do it so amazing, and you're so gifted, and you love doing it. Listen, tell me, big guy, I love preaching. But what brings me so much joy is that I get to just love on Pastor Omar and you and the team and serve you guys. And what brought him so much joy wasn't so much the expansion of Christ Fellowship and us growing as a church and what he built. What brought him so much joy was the moments that he would pray for us. He would put his arm around us before we would preach to Omar and I, and he would just pray there, loving us, encouraging us, being there for us more than all the other things. You want to live the life? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others. In fact, a couple weeks before he passed away, Pastor Rick sent me this text message while he was going through chemo. Hey, Pastor, he would call me Pastor sometimes. I'm like, don't call me Pastor. I haven't been able to watch the message today. Tough chemo day, but several people have texted me telling me what a powerful message it was. I'm hoping to feel a bit stronger tomorrow. Watch it online then. Very, very proud of you, my friend. Even while going through chemo, he was loving others. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Can we give Jesus a praise for that? So what I love about this passage, Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the only way, not a way, to salvation. I am the truth. Truth is not relative. But I also give you an abundant life. And this is how you live an abundant life. And today, my friend, you have an opportunity to experience life and life in full. I'm going to invite every single person to bow your head and to close your eyes. There where you are, if you're watching us at one of our campuses, maybe you're joining us for the first time, or perhaps you've been coming here for many weeks or many months. And perhaps as I was preaching this message, you were thinking, Carlos, I'm not sure that Christ is the only way. That seems so closed-minded. It seems so narrow. And I'm not sure. I've been wrestling with this idea. I've been wrestling with this theological truth. And I've been struggling with that. And perhaps as I was preaching this message, the Lord convicted you. My friend, today you have an opportunity to make the best decision of your life. There where you are with no one looking, you can make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. If you're making that decision today, I'm not gonna ask you to come to the front. I'm not gonna call you out, but I do wanna pray for you, and I wanna know who I'm praying for. So there where you are with no one looking, if you're watching us at one of our campuses, take a moment right now and lift up your hand as high as you can. God bless you, sir. God bless you, young man. Salvation has come to you. God bless you, young man. God bless you all the way in the back. God bless you. God bless you in the front. God bless you. God bless you. Tons of hands lifted. God bless you in the back. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. It is not the words that save you. I'm going to ask you to repeat these words. It's not the words that save you, but rather the condition of your heart. And God wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants it all. Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of saving. Jesus, I believe that you died, you were buried, and you were raised from the grave for my sins. Today, I repent, I turn away from my old life, and I run to you today. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my everything, be my best friend. From this day forward, I will live for you and you alone. Write my name in the book of life. It's in your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen and amen. Christ Fellowship, if you're excited for those who said that prayer, why don't we give it up for them? If you made that decision to follow Christ, make sure you go to our Next Steps area. We have a Bible that we want to give you. We want to welcome you to God's family. And we love you. We believe that your best days are ahead of you. Next week, we're going to be learning about John chapter 15, that Jesus is divine. And so I want to encourage you to come back. Don't come alone. I love you, Christ Fellowship. God bless you. Have an incredible day. God bless.